Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On this episode of Barbecue and Tech, Flame Boss versus the Barbecue Guru. How do you keep your pit temperature right? I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner, Kyram, co-host, and the man who just likes to buy tech just for the sake of buying tech, Chris Ashley.
If I don't buy the tech and use it for smoking food, who's going to do it? How are our fans going to know which one to get, which one not to get, and what to do with it?
I was going to say, your problem isn't just with barbecue stuff. It is with literally every. So we're going to take a quick aside. So Chris is doing a project where when back in the day, when he first moved to the house, he had a, like we all used to have a big screen TV, the kind of you had to roll in place, like in a big cabinet.
That box cabinet set, yeah.
So he built a faux wall so it looked like a flush TV. Over the years, he went to a flat screen TV, but he never removed the faux wall.
But I rebuilt the faux wall. So, you know, I took out.
Oh, you closed it in.
Yeah, I closed the middle. I didn't close it in all the way. What I did was, I had this big 55-inch TV, Pioneer. It was the hotness of the time.
Let's not talk about your historical stuff. We get to the key point of, to take down a wall, let's be very clear, everybody, to take down a wall that you put in place, not a structural wall. A fake wall. He bought a Sawzall. It was not structural. It held nothing up.
No, it didn't hold anything up, but it was 2x4s and, you know, it was nailed into the concrete. It was shot. I shot nails into the concrete to hold it in place. It was up.
I need you to Google structural wall.
I get it. It wasn't a load bearing. It wasn't, you know, holding up, you know, cross beams in the house. I get it. But I'm just saying it wasn't like I took like some dividers and threw them in a line. I was like, there we go. Here's our wall. No, I framed it out.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And it looked, it honestly was there for so long that I forgot that you had a faux wall there. Until you're like, I'm going to tear this down because I want the extra 3 feet of space back or 2 feet of space, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, in order to do this project, he's at least $1,000 into tools. And that's – if you live that life, because you're probably – there's at least somebody sitting here saying, yep, that's me too, whenever I start a project. And I will agree 100%. Every project goes a lot faster when you have the right tool. Because we were putting up drywall, or we were having to put in the lights, like the circle thing that you have for putting the lights in. Oh, my gosh. The project was like – how many times you try to cut a circle so you can put a light in? It's like, oh, it's a little off. You're trying to trim it. And you're like, you take the drill. It's like, deep, deep, done. And it's the circle.
No dust. Nothing to clean up. It's
great.
It was awesome.
But we apply that level of I'm willing to piss away really good money to
make
everything he does.
Do the job right.
So you've been a Flame Boss user for a long time. And there was nothing that you didn't like about it.
I love it.
Tell us the backstory of of where you started, because I know it all got started with the show that I think got everybody really loving barbecue even more, is Barbecue Pitmasters, at least season one and season two were off the chains. I don't really watch it anymore, but
yeah. So let's take a tiny half step sideways and make sure people understand. So this episode, I've used the Flame Boss barbecue controller extensively for years. I've had my eye on the Barbecue Guru temperature controller for years, and I actually bought one and started using it. And so now I have an opinion as to which one I like better and why, and I'm going to share that with you guys in case you're wondering which controller you should get. Now, with that said, let me just drop out, as we love to do on this show, three tips for folks considering getting a temperature controller. Tip number one, you don't need a controller. I just want to make that absolutely clear. You do not need a controller. And in fact, we've said this many times on the show. If you are new to your smoker, do not use a controller. Learn your smoker. That's tip number one. Okay. Because they are expensive. Tip number two, make sure you understand what you're getting, because you can get a temperature controller, which will help you control the temperature of the smoker, or you can get a remote thermometer, okay, which just allows you to remotely monitor the temperature of the food you're cooking, okay? Now, some controllers do both. And the Flame Boss does it, and both the Barbecue Guru does it as well, where you can plug probes into the food and probes into a probe for the smoker itself. So just make sure you understand what you're looking at, you know, whether it's a remote thermometer or a remote controller. Okay. Tip number three. If you are budget conscious, consider just getting the controller and then get you a separate probe. This does two things. One, it removes the single.
Wait, say that again.
So consider if you're budget conscious, consider getting a controller first that just does control the temperature, right? And then later on, you can get a remote thermometer. What this does is A, cuts the price down, because the more foods that the controller can monitor, the more expensive it becomes. B, remember, if you say, I'm just going to get a controller that can do three or four meats, that becomes your single point of failure. That thing goes, everything is thrown off, right? Because your temperature controller for the smoker's off. You're not remotely monitoring your foods. And so, you know, I actually like the idea of having two separate devices, two separate technologies, one for the food, one for the smoker. So those are my three tips this week.
I like that.
Okay. So with that said, now let's talk about how I came down this path in the first place. So for me, didn't even know these type of things existed. Until I started, like you said, I started watching Barbecue Pitmasters, and I noticed a lot of these guys, whether they had the egg, some of these folks had the gravity smokers, many of them were using the Barbecue Guru temperature controller. And they would set these things up. They would run their wires. Some of them actually had holes drilled in their smoker just for the wire probe. And then, you know, they would seal off that hole. I have no intention of doing that to my smoker, but some of the smokers, you can ask them to do that, and they'll put a little gasket in there to keep the temperature if you're having one built. What these controllers do is they have a fan that connects to the intake of where the air comes in on the smoker, and then it has a probe that sits inside the smoker. So if the smoker is too cold, it spins up the fan, which puts more air on the charcoal, which heats up the smoker. Too warm, it stops spinning, and it lets the temperature of the smoker drop until it gets back to wherever temperature it needs. Now, a little bonus tip here is if you're using a controller, you want your top airflow valve to be as close to closed as possible. Why? Because you want really the fan to control the temperature. And if it's too open, you're going to get more airflow, even airflow that's not being created by the fan. And it becomes harder to keep the temperature where you want it to be. Right. So if you keep that thing almost closed, when the fan stops spinning, it's that closed enough where the temperature will actually come down. And that's what you want. Okay. And it's something I had to learn over time. Yeah, and you'll each smoker is different, but I would just say just barely have it open, and then you can figure out if that's enough or you need to do a little bit more. But the ultimate goal is that you want it closed enough so that when the fan detects or when the controller detects the temperature needs to come down and it stops spinning, that the temperature actually comes down. Okay. So watching Barbecue Guru, seeing all these guys using this tool, I was like, I got to get me one of those. And I looked at the price and I was like, holy cow, this thing is expensive. That's a couple hundred dollars, like $300, $350. And so I was like, all right, not now. But then once I decided I really wanted to get one, I started looking at the Barbecue Guru again. And then I have a buddy that actually has a barbecue store. It's called Yard and Pool. He's a good friend, and he's always been good to us. You know, we don't take any money. We don't have any kind of contract with the dude. He's just a good dude. And so I went to his shop because he's local to me. So I tried to go see if he had one, and he actually had one called Flame Boss. And I had never heard of the Flame Boss, but I looked at it and he says, yeah, we've been selling a lot of these and people tend to like them. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get one. And they had all these different models, but the one that I got was the big boy. It was like a same price, like $350. It had a temperature probe for the smoker, but it also could control or monitor up to four different meats. And so I got that thing, hooked it up, and was like, wow, this is awesome. Because I set the temperature, it brings it to that temp, and it holds it at that temp. And that is, how I got into this. So I just ended up going with Flame Boss out of sheer luck, but really enjoyed the product that I got. So I've had that for a few years. And just another thing to point out, if you have a pellet smoker, you don't need a controller, right? Because the pellet smoker is built in.
Yeah, this is more like you're doing something, a big boy smoker like you have, or an egg or something to that effect. I'll say, when I was watching Pitmasters, I'm trying to think of when we were watching Pitmasters, is that when we were using that kettle? Because I can only harken back to the days of using the kettle smokers, which, again, for people who use kettle smokers.
We were up to the egg at that point.
We might have been up to the egg at that point.
We're using them with the eggs.
There's nothing wrong with a kettle smoker, but my goodness gracious, was it a lot of work. And when you are used to a very thin piece of metal and fighting to keep temperature, like constantly adding wood, constantly adding this, constantly doing that, and you realize, like, I could just put this thing on and the temperature would function like an oven. It's just consistent. Like, even with the egg, you can get consistency. But what anybody with an egg will tell you, there's nothing worse than when you're sitting upstairs in your room and you have that thing that's just monitoring temperature of your pit, and you're like laying in your bed and it's like your pit is at 400 degrees and it's only supposed to be at 250. You're like, and then you hear the wind howling outside. You're like, gosh darn it. That little gap that you left at the top was perfectly fine when the air stayed constant. But as soon as that started whipping and it started just thrusting air through the lower intake, through the top, it just heats up. So being able to shut those things down and have the controller take over is great. And again, I'll never forget where they used to tease. Who was it that they were teasing on the show that were using the temperature? Because they're like, oh, your oven, da da da. It's just like cheating. And it's like, no, I can focus on my cook and not focus on the meaningless maintaining a temperature. Yeah.
And I do like the aspects of, working your fire and working your pit and all that stuff. But after years and years, it gets old. You know what I mean? It's like, I've done this stuff now, so I'm okay using things. And the other thing is, every time I wanted to smoke a brisket overnight or smoke a pulled pork overnight, and I was doing it a lot, especially when I was tailgating, I didn't sleep well. And I didn't like being exhausted at the game because I was constantly, checking the temp. So I would oftentimes just sleep downstairs. So I could just be close enough to the smoker. And once I started getting these controllers and I could just say, okay, I can go to bed. If I wake up like in a panic, I can look at my phone like, oh, temperature's right where it needs to be. Food is right on point. Go back. I sleep like a baby with those controllers, man. So it definitely changes the dynamics of the smoke. throughout.
There was one point in time where we used to cook everything by a campfire, and I don't judge anybody who uses a stove and an oven. So use your temperature controller.
Do your thing.
When you learn your smoker, you learn how much it needs, where it needs to be open, how long your coal or your fuel will last at a certain thing. That's great. But then when you go to the net where you're like, I can run to the store for 2 hours or an hour and a half to grab what I need. I can go watch my kid play a sports game and then get back here and know that this thing is going to be rock solid, man.
I can do other things. You know what I mean? I can woodwork. I can make a cutting board. I can do all these other things. Run out. Oh, I need more wood. Or all these other things are available to me now because, you know, this thing is really helping out and I can remote monitor. And oftentimes, you know, you ever try to FaceTime your wife to see how open the mast is on the top, so you can then tell her to tap it, tap, tap. Then, you know, your tap is different than everybody else's tap. You know what I mean? So yeah, I've been down this road. You know what I mean? I was like, no, tap a little bit more, tap a little bit more. Okay, no, too much. Open it. You know what I mean? So trying to, you know, teach her how to.
I don't want
to
do this. Just use the damn oven.
Can't you just come home? So yeah. So all right. So let's get into this a little bit. So. In recent times, I was like, okay, I've had my Flame Boss, and I started running into, I just had it so long, it started getting beat up. The wire for it was, I had already accidentally burned it once, so I had to cut it and reattach it and tape it back together. The fan has these two screws in it that has, because it has a back plate, right? So that the air is not pulling from one side and going out the other. The air is being pulling from one side and then being forced or directed through the tube that's going into your smoker. So the screws came out. So I always found myself sticking, you know, like screws in there. And I easily could have went and got a new bolt and bolted it down. But I was like, I don't feel like it. The other thing was, you know, I had dropped it a few times. So it was a little bit dented because it was made out of metal. So yeah, so I started, you know, it was still working, but it just wasn't in its, you know, pristine condition like when I first got it. So I was like, you know what? It's time for me to mess around with the Barbecue Guru. And I ordered the their top one, the Ultra Q. And so the difference really in these devices tends to be how many different meats it can control, what type of communication it has, and that's pretty much where the price. So the more devices, the more foods it could control, the more connections that it has, the price starts to climb, right? So, but ultimately all these different ones, they really just control the temperature. So I got one, came in the box, and I immediately opened it up. And I was like, whoa, this thing is absolutely gorgeous. I really like, even though, you know, it's like a hard plastic housing on it. It has lights. The backlighting on the screen where it's, the numbers are massive. So while I'm working out in my gym, I can just peek out the window and see the numbers on the screen. Really cool concept there. And then it has a big ring light that goes around the outside of it. So, you know, if it's blue, it's reaching temperature. If it's red and pulsing, it's the fan is going. So it's just color code. So you can just, I'm a big fan, especially when it comes to tech, of glance and go. That's a concept that Microsoft came out with when they started doing the live tiles. And I know the live tiles were controversial for people, but for me, the idea of glance and go really resonated with somebody like me. I want to look, take in a bunch of information, and then keep doing what I'm doing. And I love that. And they really were kind of set up for that with this thing. And then, of course, it has an app that goes with it, free app. You download it. You configure your DigiKey. You can register with their website, you know, so you can monitor your cooks online as well. So it had pretty much the same things. You know, Flame Boss, same, you know, pretty much the same thing. When you get it, you download the app, you know, you plug it in, you set it up, you put both devices, you put on your Wi-Fi through the app. The difference with the structure of the Flame Boss is they use kind of that old school, almost like calculator style screen. You're not seeing that from across the room, right? You're just seeing like the, you know, pretty much the yellowish green light. And that's it. Now you walk up on it. Yeah, of course, you can see all the details and all the data you need to see. But that, I always disliked that. Now, I have the Flame Boss 300. And currently they're up to Flame Boss 500. Now, the 500 is pretty much what the 300 was, but it's in a new body, which is more of that plastic body, which is kind of like what the Flame Boss is. So the 500 they have now, upgraded housing, much better to me than what I have, but because mine is like a completely metal housing. And yeah, just wasn't a huge fan of that structure. Now, with that said, you know, both devices do a great job at holding temperature. You set the temperature, it'll take the device up to that temperature. One other thing I should point out before I go a little further is that the fan on the DigiQ, I love their fan. It's like this big chubby bulkiness. So if you drop it, I think it's going to hold up pretty well. But it has a rubber gasket on the end of it. So when you plug it into your intake tube, it actually holds in there really well and just creates, you know, potentially blocks any other backflow. So when that thing is sending air, it's sending air. No room for error on that. Really like that design on that thing. The Flame Boss fan was just metal housing with the fan on it, and it kind of just, you know, you just put it, stuck it in the hole, and that was it. That was the end of it. So much better design to me on the Barbecue Guru as far as the housing aesthetics than the Flame Boss. So let's, now, yeah, go ahead.
Just a curious question, because part of what I hear is that your Flame Boss developed some, I'll call it character, and you decided to do it, transition. You got swept up in the pretty look, bigger screen, glanceability of a newer device, and made that transition. If right now Flame Boss had a model that was HomeKit enabled, with a small non-glanceable screen, I just want to know if you switch back. Just because I know I don't think any of them have like HomeKit or Alexa or Google Assistant integration. If one of them had that, would that be a game changer where you could just say, hey, S lady, what's the temperature of my pit? Hey, S lady, what's the temperature of probe one, probe two, probe three?
That wouldn't cause – it would be an awesome feature. But I can't say it would be a game changer for me. Like, okay. It would all be right. Cool. I mean, and you know, I've, my
you're
house
a huge
is
HomeKit person.
Is HomeKit up. You know what I mean? From turning lights on and off to setting up the room for my podcast, you know, Apple TVs. Yeah, I'm pretty big into automated tech. So it would be a very helpful thing, but it wouldn't say, let me switch to one or the other. Okay.
I'm would just thinking be, like, man, could you say, hey, you know, hey, S lady.
It would be awesome. That would be
the temperature of my pit 5 degrees up.
Absolutely awesome. Because some of these things work remotely too, right? Some of these commands work while you're away.
Yeah.
So that part is really cool. So now let's talk about the apps for each device.
Okay.
I'm just going to say heads and tail, Flame Boss is significantly better from their application and its use than what DigiQ did. I just have to say it that way. So some examples. First off, you can, you know, both apps support multiple devices. So if you had multiple smokers, you can control them all. But the information that I, you know, they both have aspects of their application where it goes in and say, here's the temperature, here's my threshold where I want you to start alarming. Definitely both detect when the door's open, which is huge, right? Because you don't want the fan constantly blowing when you're opening the door. So it should detect like, okay, that's a massive temperature swing. The door is probably open. So let me just shut off for a second. Give this, you know, person time to barbecue whatever or do whatever they're doing with the meat. Because you don't want that thing, because what will happen is it'll start spinning up the fan, the coals will start to heat up even more, and when you shut it, it's going to overshoot the temp. So I do love that both apps detect when the door is open. But Flame Boss went the extra mile. And what they said was, not only are we going to give you all these controls for your smoker, but we're going to give you all of these, this additional information for your food. And this is when I'm like, whoa. For example, I can see when, you know, all the different probes, I can see the temperatures, I can watch, I can monitor their cook. So, you know, it has a little graph that shows you when the temperature went up. I love the fact that when I look at the Flame Boss, I can see, you know, the big drops in temperatures, because then I'm like, that's when I open the door. That's when I open the door. Okay. Flame Boss also has a notification service connected to them. So not only does the app notify you when it detects a temperature swing, but you get a text message when the temperature swing occurs. Love that. You know, I can go back and look at my previous cooks and look at every detail and replay the cook and just kind of watch the details and when it went up, when it went down, and, you know, how long it took to do all these different things. Love those aspects of the app, you know, but Barbecue Guru is just missing that. They don't have that. They don't have that level of information that you're going to get on the Flame Boss app. And it's a shame because, you know, like I said, they did a great job with the aesthetics of the device. But the app information is definitely lacking. Now, both of them support Bluetooth connectivity. Both of them support Wi-Fi connectivity. And this is where the Barbecue Guru completely failed me. So Bluetooth connection, flawless. Getting information, checking the temperature, updating the firmware on the device, flawless. But the Wi-Fi is just not very good right now. I don't know what it is about the Wi-Fi on the Barbecue Guru, but it keeps dropping. And when it drops, it just never reconnects. I actually had to reset the device and then reset it up to Wi-Fi. And it worked for the whole cook. But the very next time I went to use it, dropped again and would not get on the Wi-Fi. And that was a bummer to me.
And to be fair, you have the meter probes mm-hmm. that are inside the smoker mm-hmm. connecting to the same Wi-Fi network. Yeah. Well, technically, they connect to the hub, and the hub connects to the Wi-Fi network. But it's within proximity of where
all
any
the
other
range.
Device is yep. connecting to the same access point, which is really on the other side of a glass door.
Right. And it's
and
like
it can't connect.
Maybe 40 feet.
Yeah.
From my Wi-Fi. So there's no reason why this should be happening. This is definitely an app thing.
You did reach out to them about this, didn't you?
And that's another thing. So let me tell a story. So when I first got my Flame Boss, one of the things that always impressed me is that they had updates, firmware updates for it, pretty frequently at the time. And so one of the firmware updates bricked my Flame Boss. Like, it just wouldn't work. And you know, that happened, so I don't hold it against them. But when I called their support, I got a guy on the phone. He was actually remotely trying to update my Flame Boss. And then once he determined that, okay, there's something like some wrong on the inside, he was like, listen, I'm going to send you out a new one. And just when that box comes, take the old one, stick it in the box, send it back. And I got my new one, and that's what I have today. Haven't had an issue since. I reached out to Barbecue Guru and was like, hey, you know, just want to talk to somebody. I still haven't heard back. Nothing. And that really bummed me out because I'm like, man, I paid a lot of money for this thing and I'm having a real issue with it. And it's just not working from the Wi-Fi standpoint. That really bums me out.
I think everybody feels the same way. Like when you get, it's when you get good customer service, you may not tell the company, oh my God, you guys did such an amazing job. It's just you just become a lifelong advocate and customer for that brand, other than you just switching because you saw a bigger screen. But when you don't get good customer service, it's just like, when you're getting ready to go buy something in the future, it's just like, you know, you remember that experience. I mean, we all have a car where we're like, never buying from that dealer again, or never buying that brand again, just because of a very bad experience that you had with the brand. And I think it's sad. Like it could be a genuine mistake when you don't get a call back. But at the end of the day, I didn't get a call back and my problem didn't get solved.
Right. Well, you saw the other day, right? You know, we talked about the truck that I'm getting.
Yeah.
And one of the aspects of the truck is to get a charger flow device. I think it's what it's properly called. You know what I mean? because the charger is actually on the vehicle.
Yeah.
And I called the company. Ford has a company they're going with, and they're saying, this is our main vendor. I reached out, you know, they sent me a link. I tried to schedule an appointment. And that their website wasn't working. I couldn't schedule an appointment. And I called them directly and I said, hey, you guys are supposed to be this. I'm trying to get an appointment scheduled. And they're like, oh, we'll pass your information and somebody will get back to you. Well, that was weeks ago. And I reached out to another company. Not only did they get back to me immediately, I even asked for help providing detailed information of what the install would be like, because I'm the first in the neighborhood as far as having a parking space that needs one of these installed. And so it's going to require a little bit extra work to get the homeowners to approve. And they're like, no problem. Give us a week. We'll write it up detail oriented. Then they were like, hey, send us a picture of your house. We'll draw on the picture exactly what we're doing, where we're doing it. Provided me all the information, submitted it, got approved. So yesterday, Rod and I are driving around. I get this phone call and they're like, hey, you know, we finally got the website fixed and we're reaching out to you to get the install done. And we wanted to, I was like, whoa. I already got this settled. You guys had your opportunity weeks ago. You never got back to me. I had to go with another company. And the lady, unfortunately, was just taken aback. That was not what she expected to hear, but it's just like, you know, customer service goes a long way. So.
It really does. So, I know, yeah. For me, it really does. But go ahead.
So the app heads head over heels significantly better on the Flame Boss. And, you know, that leads into my biggest issue with the Barbecue Guru is that Wi-Fi piece. Both of them seem to be within, I've had them both hooked up with their probes. Both of the temperatures seem to be within like 2 degrees of each other. So they both seem to be fine on that front. I really like the extra mile that Flame Boss goes. Like I said, giving you the alert notifications when the temperature is changing, when it's not. I really like that. And so to me, if I was to go and recommend one of these devices, I would have to give it to Flame Boss over the Barbecue Guru. Now, this is something that I'm perfectly willing to revisit. Sorry,
you said you'd have to give it to Flame Boss over the
Barbecue Guru.
It was very muddled there.
No, I wanted it to be, let's make sure it's clear. If somebody asked me which device I should get, I would tell you go with Flame Boss over the Barbecue Guru. The other thing is, like, when you log into the website, it's just like all the same controls that you get on the Flame Boss app is on the website. All the same information is there. So, and I like that because sometimes, you know, you have to grab your phone, you have to open the phone, you have to open the app. I don't mind what if I'm sitting in my office gaming while I got some food on, I can just put the website up on the screen and then just watch the cook from there and send out commands from there as well. So really cool. The Barbecue Guru does have the website there, but it's not as detailed. It's not as fully functioned as the Flame Boss one. So again, great device design, poor application design, right? And honestly, the Flame Boss, I'm not a huge fan of the design of the Flame Boss, but their application functionality to me is stellar. So it's like they're like opposites. Like if you combine the two, you'd have the ultimate device. And there's some other devices out there that I want to check out and mess around with, but these are the two big boys of the companies. Now, what I did was, because I was in a quandary, right? I'm a big fan of the meter. So ever since I got one, the meter is strictly does what it does, right? It really just does the food and that's it. Now, it does give you the ambient temperature around the food, which is super helpful, but it doesn't have any control over that. And so there is a cheaper Flame Boss device called the Flame Boss 400 that definitely people who have a meter should consider, right? And what's the difference? The 400 has no screen. Like, this thing is simply a smoker controller. It does have a probe, but that doesn't mean, because a lot of times, even though it comes with one probe, you can get a splitter that splits the probe and it detects that there's two probes hooked into it. I don't even use that though, right? I don't need the screen. I don't need anything else, right? Because it, the housing for the fan also has a housing for the tech in the 400. So you have a little device that a little dome that kind of goes around your smoker. If you have like a kind of kettle style. So, you know, if you ever notice like you have on your smoker, what they do is they have a little bolt that goes through this little bowl. Think of it as a bowl, like a dog bowl, if you will, that has a hole in it. And then you screw that into that hole and then you just leave it open. So that thing completely covers the hole for the kettle. Then the fan just kind of hooks into the middle of it. And then that's how they get the temperature on the kettle ones. Really okay. Simple install. Yeah. For mine, it actually has an adapter that screws into the pipe that leads that the air intake. And then then the fan just hooks into that. So when I say hooks, it kind of has like a lip on the end of it that you dip down and then the lip kind of hooks on the inside of it. And then the rest of it just falls flat. And it's completely much better design on this fan than on the previous, on the 300 fan that I have. So I'm really happy with that. Then it has just has the wire, three wires, one for power, one for the food, and one for the probe. I don't need the food one because I have my meters. So this thing is like $100 cheaper. So it's $250. So it might be a super viable option for folks looking to go this route.
Yeah.
It hooks into the same app. So when I open my app, I actually have the 400 in there and the 300 in there and I can pick and choose which one. And they have different kinds, right? They have ones that are specific for a device or you get one that's universal. I just got the universal one. Simple. And then because, you know, my smoker's not listed. But the universal adapter kit worked perfectly fine for me.
All right. I know that, it was called DigiQ at the time when I got mine, and it was during the time of Barbecue Pitmasters, and I had, it was probably one of the originals they had.
Yeah, they still have the DigiQ too. It's a smaller device, yeah.
It worked great for my smoker, but what I didn't like is when it rained. I was trying to put like Tupperware containers over and under to get it out of water. And it was just like, and for me, that was a challenge. I know you have a good overhead covering, but I'm assuming the newer devices are, I'll call them weatherproof. Because I know before, I don't know if you remember the early episodes of Barbecue Pitmaster there was one particular episode when he was using them and, it was raining and you know, he's essentially having like one is acting like an umbrella over top of it to prevent water from going over it. And another where it's sitting on a Tupperware container so that it doesn't sit in water and then hovering over it. And I felt that that's what I found myself doing is trying to baby and protect this device because once you get used to using it, this is why I think it feeds back to your key point, learn how to use your pit. Cause if you have a situation where you're like, I got a big smoke tomorrow and this isn't working, or I got a big smoke tomorrow and it is a torrential downpour. Sometimes if those devices aren't good for full weatherproof, you have to go back to the tried and true method, which is about how far open do I need this to maintain the speed? How much water is this really hitting that's just trying to cool down that? So I got to open up this a little bit more without hoping that water is going to come through and hit on my food. How much do I have to open up this lower grate so I can feed a little bit more oxygen and air into it to keep temperature? So you have to know how, I think I shouldn't say it's a rite of passage, but you're going to have, it's no different than when your probes go out on your wire probes go out and you're like, oh, they don't work. And if you can't figure out how to do temps or touching and feeling or slapping the meat and seeing it jiggle and say, I know it's close to done, you're in a world of hurting. And yeah, that's why I think once I stopped you, I might even still have the parts somewhere around here, but I haven't used it in years. I know how far my egg needs to be open for cooking, for smoking a salmon, for doing prime rib and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And things I should add. The DigiQ or the Barbecue Guru, their fan is a 10 CFM fan for most things. And then they do have a much more powerful 25 CFM fan. But, you know, in most cases, you probably be fine with the 10. I think the 25 is for like the bigger fireboxes that exist.
And they think it's just quiet too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, they are relatively loud. Yeah, they're both relatively quiet, which is a pretty cool feature. Now, I will say this. There is an advantage to having your food probe. You have your controller have a food probe in. And that's where if you're like, okay, once you reach this temperature, bring the temperature down to, you know, 200 degrees to kind of keep it warm. That capability does exist on the Flame Boss. I'm not 100% that it exists.
Yeah, but how good does that really, really work? I mean, because let's be fair. If you're cooking your brisket at, what do you cook, roughly 275 for a brisket? You say when it hits 200, bring the temperature down to 200 just to maintain so it doesn't cook anymore. Mm-hmm. Your smoker maintains temperature well. How long does it really take you to drop 75 degrees to assume that your food
here's
is
what I would
overrun?
Do, right? I wouldn't wait to say get to 200, right? I would say once you hit 195, bring the temperature down. You know what I mean? Or if the meat hits 195, bring the temperature down to 200, right? Because in that time frame when it's coming down, it should hit temp, right? And then so you don't have to wait, and I wouldn't wait to the last second. You know what I mean?
Thinking my egg, like, it holds temperature well, and I know yours is probably even better. Like, I just – the amount of – I mean, again, it's just something else you'd have to learn is – how quickly can you ramp down temperatures, which will be very different in the winter and the summer? And I mean, yours is like an inch thick of steel.
Okay. So imagine this aspect, right?
Yeah.
You got a brisket and some pulled pork on the smoker, right? Yep. And you got your remote thermometer on there and you got it.
Yep.
And then you're at a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And the baseball game runs over. Your food hits temp.
It is going to suck to miss the last innings. Hey man, that's a lot of money on that smoker right there, boy. There'll be another game another day. Or I'm calling somebody, a neighbor, somebody like
that. Or
dude.
You have it set to bring the temperature down. So it says, okay, it's reached this temp. I'm going to bring the temperature down. And you don't destroy, you know, the hundreds of dollars you have on the smoker.
Yes. I could say there's a use case. I know with your smoker, I would imagine it would maintain to get it to say, if I shut it off at 275, it would probably take an hour plus for it to come down.
Yeah, that's probably something I need to kind of
You'd have to evaluate. Play around with that.
Yeah, to see how long it takes to drop from temp. The information is probably there on one of my previous cooks too.
Yeah.
No, because I normally turn the controller off when
of course
hard.
You do, because you don't need it anymore. Like I say, it's one of those things that you just really have to play around with to try to figure out how to do it. And to me, it's just easier to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, take this off, or be like, I got to go. I got to get home.
I got to dip. Y'all played well. We'll holla at you.
I've been with you've been over at my house where you're like, I got to go. My food's almost done. And rolling out. It was a great conversation we're having, Rod. I thought you were just about to give me the winning lottery numbers, but I got to roll.
Yeah, you hold on to the numbers. Got to dip. Oh, we've just discovered the meaning of life. All right, I got to go. Just hold that thought. I got to go.
Let me know when I get back. All right. So did you have any picks you wanted to do today, or do you want to hold off on that? Cause you gave three fantastic tips to get people. Cause honestly, I think you're probably not going to go wrong with any controller, but if you want better of the two, I think you said Flame Boss without a doubt.
Yeah. And I would say for folks looking at the Barbecue Guru and you're not planning on being out and about and, you know, Bluetooth is fine. Go with the Barbecue Guru if you like the aesthetics of it. But if you're really into like controlling all aspects of the cook and understanding all aspects of the cook, I would say right now the Flame Boss app is just that much better. And that alone is probably the route to go. And then so now it's just which Flame Boss do I get? Which device do I get? And if you're like super into it and you want to do all the one and have all these different meats that are being controlled, yeah, go with the 500, you know. But if you're like, you know what, I really want to get into these meters, you know, so I don't need all of that, definitely check out the 400. And if they also just have a Wi-Fi thermometer, right? So if you're just like, all right, I don't need any of that other stuff. I just want to remotely monitor my food. They have a $69. It's actually on sale right now. Wow. $69 for their Wi-Fi thermometer.
Wow.
Yeah. That's wow. I didn't even expect it. I was just poking around on our website while we were doing this. Yeah. $69.
Yeah. So, I probably wouldn't go back, but if I were to, just based upon what you said, if I were to buy a device, it'll absolutely be a Flame Boss. The data alone sounds like a game changer. I do wish some of these would come with some level of smart integration for like HomeKit or Google Assistant. Cause I will say that would be,
yeah, that would,
that's a difference maker to me.
Yeah. That would definitely, step the game up.
I mean, cause again, your glanceability is cause you want to see what the temperature is, but that works for you for where you work out at and where your smoker is. But for 90% of the people, they put their smoker, it might be off their deck and they're in their family room. So they could get up to go look, but it would just be as easy to say a word, what's the temperature outside or what's the temperature of my smoker? And for it to come back. And so you're like, all right, yeah, it's been constant at 300 for a little while or 275 or 250. I'm good. Or to tell it to increase the temperature or lower the temperature or whatever you might want to do. Or what's the temperature of probe 1, 2, or 2? Because there's some value out of having your probes that are kind of tied in there. I really like what Meter does. And I think the statistics you like that you get out of Meter are very similar to statistics you get out of Flame Boss. So cool, man.
Yeah, man. So this was a fun episode because I had been – talking
so
about
are you
this
going back? Are you reverting back? Are you like done?
I ordered. Food? I own the 400. I own the 400. So.
Oh, I didn't realize that you fully made the switch. I missed that when you said it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have the Flame. I actually have all three devices. I have the 300. I have the 400, and I have the Barbecue Guru. And right now, my active device is the Flame Boss, the 400. Which is the fan, pretty much like the fan only with the device, you know, with the controls. No screen, no nothing. Yeah. Everything is on my phone. So yeah, that is my main device right now. I've used it already twice. Phenomenal. Hooked right in to the app, immediately got on the Wi-Fi, never lost connection, got the, you know, the update, took the update well. That was it. And I was off to the races. Much simpler setup. You know, one probe, one power cord. That's it. Away we go. Because the other ones, right, you have a fan that's separate from the controller, and then you have that wire that goes from the fan to the controller. So it's just another thing. And that's how I accidentally burned the wire, right? It's sitting next to the charcoal, and I wasn't paying attention when I closed the door for the charcoal because I was adding more wood, and it got closed right in on top of it and just burned the wire. You know, so it caught the door caught the corner of it and it just melted immediately. So I was like, ugh. So yeah. So now the fact that this just has a probe and a power cord coming off of it.
Right.
Problem solved.
Cool.
Yeah, man. All right. That was a fun episode, but some long overdue because I've been actively testing both of these devices. And man, until the next episode, fans, oh my God, the interactions are growing. The support is growing. The fan base is growing. So please, we love you. Please keep tweeting out the show and dragging other people in to listen to our foolishness. You know, we're just two guys who have been doing barbecue for a long time, but you know, want to expand the conversation and invite more people to the fire. So we all can learn together. So we're enjoying all the tips we're getting from our fans and all the interactions. So let's keep that rolling.
All right, man. Until next time. Talk to you later, man.
We out.
Peace. Peace.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.